Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
8 o'clock here on the bench. That was a quick break. 713-780-3776. You've got the Rockets take on Toronto tonight, and then they got Oklahoma City tomorrow. Jalen Green expected to be back for one of those games. I think it may be tomorrow on the back end. And we'll see how he does. He's cranked out some good numbers of late, but you got to get some wins. And so the Rockets, hottest team in basketball, winning 3 of the last 5. One of the hottest teams, in my estimation.
Well, it'll be an exciting game between the Rockets and the Raptors because the game features two of the most valuable trade assets in all of basketball. OG Anunoby, allegedly some team has could offer the Raptors 3 first-rounders for him. And then, of course, we got Eric Gordon, because according to you, he is very valuable, and the Rockets should get a king's ransom for him. For Eric Gordon. Right? Did you say that earlier this week, that the Rockets should be getting...
Yeah, I don't know about king's ransom, but I'd say somewhere, like, late lottery. He brings leadership.
Does he?
He brings leadership. Ever since KPJ and Jalen's been out, they've won 2 in a row, and he stepped up and was a leading scorer. And did you hear him yesterday when he said all he cares about, he didn't care about stats, he just wants to win?
And getting the ball sometimes.
Yeah, did you hear about all that stuff? Well, that he said that? That sounded like leadership to me. He can score. He can score from distance. He has been on winning teams, winning-ish teams. Getting to the conference finals.
That's winning. That's a winning team.
That's a winning team. So, yeah. Just give us a first, and you can have him.
A first.
A high first.
So you're talking about a lottery pick?
Yeah, a low lottery. A mid, nothing major.
A teens type pick in that 17, 18 range? So if you're like...
Lower.
You mean like...
Or higher, I should say.
Like a better value pick for the Rockets.
Yeah. So a team who's 17, not, 18 is too... I'd rather get around 12-ish.
So a team who's not making the playoffs is trading for Eric Gordon?
That's what I'm hoping. Well... Somebody who's fighting to make the playoffs.
Fighting to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So the Lakers.
Maybe the Lakers. Yeah.
Because they should trade for Eric Gordon.
I mean, they like veterans on the team.
They do.
Look who's going to. You know who the favorite is for sixth man of the year now? LeBron should be a GM.
Russell Westbrook's not winning
right.
sixth man of the year.
He's a favorite. I saw the odds came out, the early odds. Russell Westbrook is the favorite for sixth man of the year. MVP is Jokic is the favorite right now. Favorite.
For a third time in a row.
Third time in a row, Jokic. Who had a 17 triple double last night? By the way, you of the season, you have.
I long for the day that he wins that third one, and we start having discussions about what is happening to the American basketball player. That some Euro can come in here and win 3 straight.
It'd be 5.
I hope so.
No, I mean it'd be it would actually be 5 straight.
Because who won before? Giannis. But people. It's a little different. You know that.
Why?
When people see Giannis do it, they're like, they don't immediately think, oh, what the hell is that?
He's Greek.
Yeah. And Nigerian, but he acknowledges the Greek.
Yeah, but it's an international
sure,
player.
I know what you're saying, but.
But he didn't play. He didn't come from the U.S. basketball system.
This is jokes on my part, but people don't think about Giannis the same way when they look at Jokic.
Are they not both?
They're both international players.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying.
Well, but neither player, but both to me, both are international. Like neither one came from the U.S. basketball system.
I am right there with you. But
say what you got to say.
But Jokic winning a third MVP in a row, you know there's going to be a topic on Undisputed Hot Take about why or what is happening with the American basketball player that we haven't won an MVP in five seasons.
Yeah. No, it will. Oh, no, 100%. And you know what's really strange? I remember when, and I brought this up on the show, I thought it was pretty chicken bleep, honestly. I remember when Stephen A. Smith, and actually, I want to say Kenny Smith, maybe. Maybe it wasn't Kenny Smith, but I know it was Stephen A. Smith. It was during a draft, and this is one of the original influx of European players. It was in the, it was in like 2004, 2005. I want to say it was after the 2004 NBA draft. And there was a comment about American players. Like, they didn't like the fact that international players are coming in. It was like a they took our jobs thing. And I just thought, this is a really, like, it was a very off-putting conversation where it sounded almost like the same conversations you might have had when Jackie Robinson and, the, and they were breaking the color barrier. You had Larry Doby and Jackie Robinson, like, we've got, we're losing, American players are losing jobs, and like the young guys who are coming up, and you've got these people coming in from international players, and they're not like, they're not welcome here. It's they. It was, he stopped just short of saying that, but it was like, I don't trust international guys. We need people from here, and it was very jingoistic, if to at least that. But it almost felt like exclusionary, where they didn't want the international player. Now, once again, this is like early 2000s, but I just thought at the time it was like, man, this is really weird to have. To have these analysts trying to intentionally be exclusionary at because they said this is at the expense of the American basketball player. Now, since then, obviously, and there were some flameouts in the early 2000s. There were some flameouts, and so all the heat was kind of off of the international player. But Dirk was obviously a really, really good one, and Luka has been great. Giannis has been great, and Djokovic has been great. I mean, let's face it: if it's not, there's no way an American-born player is the MVP this year. There's no way.
I mean, Joel Embiid's not.
I'm not sure.
He's not an American-born player either. I know he played at Kansas.
Who's the next American-born player to be an MVP? I mean, because you think it's... Because Embiid's still...
He's not American-born.
No, but Embiid's still got to get one. Giannis at any point can get one. Luka's going to get one. Who's the next American-born player? Can we have a run of a whole decade without an American-born player? Can you imagine... If that were the case in international soccer, American-born players are winning all of the.
No, I mean we were
the Golden Foot awards or whatever.
Golden Boot. You would love a Golden Foot award because your love of pretty feet. But
yeah, I choose it.
We were very excited when Christian Pulisic was even playing in a Champions League final. Yeah. Let alone one of our players, Luke, being the best player in the world.
RJ, who's the next American-born? Here's my three. If I had three choices, I would say. Ja Morant would be one. Jason Tatum, obviously. And I don't know. Who else? Zion? If he could stay healthy. Because Zion's got a chance to be explosive.
Yes, just,
but you got to play,
gotta play enough games.
Like, Ja doesn't sit out a bunch of games, I don't believe. Who do you think are the – I would say those are the
Tatum
two.
Tatum is a clear
Tatum
choice.
Is number one, I would say, from I would guess. Because they have a chance to win at a high level, too. But I would say Ja Morant's got that shot. I would have said Booker, and maybe I should still say Booker. I just don't know that Booker can hit enough of the statistical categories or end up, you know, scoring over 30 a game in a season. He might, but it also feels like the Suns may be trending.
Yeah, I'm not sure how long they're going to be in a position.
You got any other American-born players, RJ?
I'm thinking off the top, but my first two were Tatum and Ja.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think of a third.
And guess what? If Victor Wembanyama ends up being that guy that everyone thinks, that could be the next international player. We could see a run because the LeBron days are over in terms of him winning MVPs. Really not because of how he's playing, but just because team is not good enough. If Victor Wembanyama comes up and starts playing well too, we could see this run last more than a decade where an American-born player, and it really speaks to the globalization of basketball that was pushed forth by David Stern and – you know, how the Dream Team really helped that. The Dream Team were, this was Jordan, and this is maybe Jordan's biggest legacy, but, you know, LeBron's done the same thing too. I mean, LeBron has helped push basketball international. I think Yao Ming opened the door, but we don't see Asian-born players as MVPs or anything. But one of the things that Jordan did, and by the way, today's Jordan Day. It's 2-3-23, so it's officially Jordan Day today. But one of the things he did was he really took basketball international through Nike. And Nike has a huge part in the development, a of the sport of basketball, just without question. What they did with Michael Jordan and made him an international success. And yes, his play did too, and the Bulls did too, but the marketing of basketball really was done by shoe companies back in the day. It was less about the NBA. They had shows like Ahmad Rashad would do a show on Saturday or whatever.
Inside stuff.
Yeah, inside stuff. But that's not marketing internationally. That's the commercials that are – that's the McDonald's commercials. That's the Jordan brand stuff. That's Gatorade. It was advertising that really helped bolster the NBA. It's an interesting conversation because that's also what – that and the Dream Team. Dream Team really is credited with really globalizing basketball. Yeah.
So I'm just looking at the odds once again. Top four, Jokic, Embiid, Doncic, Antetokounmpo.
All four.
First American is Jason Tatum and Morant. So we kind of got those that squared two. Away. That's the top six.
Who's after that? You have any other American?
You get some of the older players: LeBron, Curry, Durant, and Lillard, Mitchell. But the top four have a clear feel. International players.
Yeah, and the best and a guy who's supposed to be generational is coming up. Real quick, we'll get Jeff in here, and then we're going to break it for Jeff Van Gundy. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Lance, I want to see if you had graded the Pro Bowl activity yesterday. They had longest drive, then they had the linemen catching punts, and then they had Derek Carr showcasing his arm, for his, for the, all the NFL teams. I thought it was pretty cool, to be honest with you.
I didn't see, I was flying back from Mobile, so I didn't get to see it, but I wanted to see the linemen catching punts. I've always said this is what they should do. They should do something like Superstars when I was growing up as a kid. I don't care about the game. I don't know anyone who should, but just watching guys do fun stuff like that, that's how Tyler Huntley gets in a game. No one really wants to go or they're hurt or whatever the case. Here's Derek Carr yesterday, real quick. Here's Derek Carr talking about showing off his arm, Jeff.
Listen, Derek, you've thrown touchdown passes in Vegas before. You've been on fire. Have you ever been that hot in Las Vegas?
Not that hot. It's probably why I'm going somewhere else.
Nice. Nice.
Bro, well, if this was your by himself.
That's a good one. Self-deprecating. That's good by him. By the way, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was also mentioned.
He's Canadian, right?
Is he?
I think so. Yeah, he's Canadian. You know, if Canada...
We can kind of claim Canadian. You can't. We claim Steve Nash, kind of.
No, we don't. If Canada could ever get their stuff together and get all their players to play on an international team,
they would
be pretty good.
They could be pretty good, yeah, for sure. All right, we're going to break it right here. Jeff Van Gundy, former head coach of your Houston Rockets, and now the lead analyst for ABC for ABC and ESPN. He joins us coming up next right here on ESPN 97.5.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. Are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
John's out of town, but it's Lance and Dell, and John is in Europe, Coach. Coach Jeff Van Gundy joins us right now. I still say Coach. It's a sign of endearment, a sign of respect to call somebody Coach, and that's how I grew up, at least. And Coach John's out of town doing he's in Europe living his European life. He'll come back. He'll pretend to be a fan of a European soccer team, and then he'll get back to complaining about the Rockets need a new head coach. I already know how that's going to work. But welcome into the show. First of all, I know you've been a big Texans fan over the years. You've had season tickets. I don't know if you still have them. There's a level of excitement around the city of Houston, Coach. I have not seen in a long, long, long time. And sometimes the fans' excitement, and I never think you should do things just for the fans. You should do things that are best for your team always. But sometimes what's best for your team and the thing the fans want, sometimes it aligns. And I think that happened with D'Amico Ryans as the head coach.
Well, I do still have my season tickets. I think I'm going on like 15 years, 16 years, and seen some really good football, like, division championships. Really enjoyed it. Last couple of years, pretty lean. But I love D'Amico Ryans as a player. I don't pretend to know if how good a coach he was in San Francisco or how well he'll do here, but it always seems like when you're a good person like he seems to be, that you have to root for those guys. And I'm certainly rooting to get better players for him, because David Culley and Lovie Smith had no chance with the rosters they were given.
No chance. Have you ever been in a situation where you've had to rebuild, where you felt like you needed to rebuild? Obviously, any time you take over for a situation where a team, you know, is not a very good team, if you're a new head coach, there's a lot of times some issues that have to be addressed. But have you been in a situation where you felt like you needed to change culture in a locker room or with an entire organization?
No, when I took over in New York, you know, we were coming off some highly successful teams. And if you think about it, I feel badly, but I took over for Don Nelson. Charles Oakley had been out like 6 weeks, and everything is dependent on like what you expect. When Don Nelson got fired, I believe we were 34-25 in his first year. 34-25.
Wow.
Right? And so that to me just shows you wherever your standards are, right, and your expectations are. And so when I came to Houston, Rudy unfortunately had gotten sick, and we might have played differently or maybe taught differently, I'm not sure, but he did things in such a first-class manner. There was really nothing to have to change from an environment standpoint. He had such a professional way about himself, a very humble way about himself. I think it carried over to the entire organization. It was a very humble organization when I came in.
Coach, for the first time in three, I guess, hires, there are no questions surrounding this one. All in, everyone feels like it was the right move. But the previous decisions have led people to question how functional the front office is for the Texans from ownership on down. Can one hire change everything? I know perception has changed, but can one hire change what is actually going on inside the building?
I think we fantasize anything in professional sports. It comes down to, yes, environment, but the environment is set by everyone in the building. But before you even address, you know, whether your environment's good enough, you have to be making moves to increase the talent level and the passion of the players. I never thought a professional coach can inject levels of motivation in a player that's long-standing and long-lasting if a player isn't self-motivated. You need to find highly talented, self-motivated, passionate players. And I hope in D'Amico Ryan's case, and I think he got a longer contract from what I read than a lot of guys do in their first contracts, which I think is great, because to me, it's not going to be a one-year fix. You know, do you have a quarterback, or can you identify a quarterback? Because to me, in football, it starts there. And until you have that, you don't have a whole lot. And so it'll be interesting. I'm hopeful for him. I think the Texans would admittedly say they've made a bunch of mistakes in the last couple years. And I hope for everybody, myself included as a fan, that we see a much better product this fall.
Yeah, well, we can hope. And, you know, it's funny because we're watching two different rebuilds, the Texans and the Rockets, happening in real time. And the question you posed, or the comment you posed about finding self-starters and guys who, let's face it, that you want them to have high football or high basketball character, meaning they work the days where there's not games. It's important to them. Every day is important. Winning is important. Losing is important to not lose, and it hurts, and you don't want to feel that. And finding the right guys is important. I think that's one of the things, Coach, that there's a concern. Like, I'm not saying we don't know. We just know they're young guys, and they haven't been through as much structure as maybe players in the past because of their pathway to the Rockets, guys like Jalen Green, for example. But the question is, does this team have the strong desire, the core players here, do they have a strong desire, a strong enough desire to win and do what it takes to win as a team? Is that in place yet? And if it's not, can it be corrected through through the coaching, through front office? Is it going to take a veteran or a couple veterans on the you know, on the roster? That's the big concern, Coach, is does it matter enough to these guys, and do they have enough around them to get to the point where they need to be, where they can be pushed in that direction?
Well, those are hard questions to answer unless you're there every day.
Right.
I would say Steven Silas, Rafael Stone, they have answers to those questions that outsiders can't even begin to answer. Now, I do think that all the losing can both beat you down in the NBA and sap some of that energy, passion, desire, and also you can become accustomed to the losing and the bad habits and also the bad voices that surround you that tell you, get yours, you know, do what's best for you, and try to sap out what's best for the team from the individual players. Having not been there and not with this group, that's hard to say, but I think they can need to continue to try to build up, you know, their talent base. You're not the losingest team in the league for three straight seasons because of, you know, coaching or all that. They need more guys who are high-level NBA players. And I think Rafael Stone has made some really good draft choices. We'll see if they actually, you know, where they can get to, where they can ascend to. That's a lot on player motivation to have that drive. And then they do have a lot of cap room coming up, and can they add the right veterans to the mix? And can that spur, you know, better habits? I think when you watch any team, Lance, I think evaluating any team, you start with, do they pass and do they play hard? Those two things. And if you say yes to both of those things, then you're probably going to be improving. Because when you pass, you're unselfish. When you play hard, that means you have passion and you care. And so, to me, any team in the NBA that's going through a rebuild, those are the two areas I think a team should focus on.
Coach, we did hear from a player that was inside the building for a little bit. Now, maybe he had his own agenda, but John Wall was very public with his comments about what was going on as far as structure with the Rockets. Do you believe that losing as much as they've lost can just change the trajectory of a young player or multiple young players?
Learn to lose?
Yeah, just that, well, we've lost for three or four seasons, and that's the way it is. Or is that all about what they have inside of them, that no matter how many games they lose, if they have it in them, that it won't become what they are, and they can actually become winning basketball players later on?
Well, my reference to those questions always goes back to even veterans. So when I was in New York as an assistant, the year we lost to the Rockets in the finals, we traded for Derek Harper, who was coming from the Mavericks. And the Mavericks at that time was, I think, the worst team in the NBA and had been for a couple years. And Derek Harper had every attribute that you would want as far as, you know, hardworking, tough, nasty competitor, like all of that, right? And when he came to the Knicks, subconsciously to all the coaches, he had had a huge drop in his habits. And he had, and because of his own self-starting and Coach Riley's manner of practicing, he got him back quickly. But it can subconsciously, losing can erode habits. And I think it's imperative for not just young players, but all players to play important games. If think about the Rocket young players, right? They have not played in an important NBA game yet because they've been out of the playoffs, not even qualifying for the playoffs, but like even in the hunt. So they've been playing out the string since December. And
I think when you do that year after year after year, you do not, you cannot help but have a little bit of erosion of habits. And that's why I think winning and being able to play meaningful, important games down the stretch is so beneficial to all players, not just young players.
Last question, Coach, before we let you go. Dell and I were talking about, you know, I mean, it's truly, listen, there's more points being scored. There's more early offense. There's more possessions. So we're seeing some insane scoring numbers, but it's also a credit to the amazing talent that we have. But you look at the last five MVPs have been won by internationally born players, Giannis 2, Jokic. Oh, it's the last four, but the fact is it's going to be five, because if it's not Giannis, if it's not Jokic, if it's not Embiid, it's going to be Luka. One of those four is going to win it this year. When is the next American-born player? We were talking about this. If Victor Wembanyama is as good as everyone says, and he certainly looks amazing when you watch him, this could be a really interesting run. We've got great American-born players, but the international player, they could win a decade straight of MVPs, if not more.
Yeah, it's amazing. They do such a great job in their club system over there instilling values that I think we miss out on in our ways of developing players. Like when you watch Jokic play, it is so selfless. It is so for the team. I was astounded when I was helping with USA Basketball. We were in the World Cup and Serbia was in there, and we were getting, you know, Serbia ended up having some, you know, losses that they didn't expect. But Jokic came off the bench. Now you're talking about what many would acknowledge as the best player in the world. And he had the teamness in him that would allow him, and the humility to allow him to come off the bench. And I just think they do a phenomenal job of teaching team-first values. I think they do a great job of teaching how to play without the ball and help their teammates play well. And then I think because of the club system and it's built up, you know, from the young levels all the way up, there is a humility in these guys driven by that system that allows them then to be driven, be the opposite of entitled, but hungry, right? And I think that has helped their development. And I think as Americans, we should really think and study their system, because this is not a fluke. They've done a great job, and we should acknowledge that and see what we can steal from that to help our own players.
Yeah, but you know, Coach, I read an article. There's a great article on ESPN about how the youth call. It was about Claudio Reyna and Greg Berhalter and the drama around the U.S. men's soccer team. And the article was about our youth parents, you know, as youth parents, is it ruining soccer? And at the lower levels. And in this article, it branches out and talks about actually this is a problem in every level, basketball, baseball, football, and the travel culture, and really how parents live vicariously through their kids. And we all know about that. We've all had those kind of conversations. But one of the things that was interesting was there was a study done by an international psychologist or social scientist. And it found what they were doing was they were studying entire countries, and they would give a score for individualism versus, for lack of a greater good, it was societal, or, you know, greater good, basically, is what it was. And they found that the U.S. score was one of the highest out of 100 for individualism. It was in the high 80s. But the societal score, the common good score, was in the low 20s, or high 20s, 27, I think, out of 100, which was one of the lowest scores. In China, it was absolutely inverted, which you would expect, very high for the community, very low for the individual. But even places like Germany, it was, you know, in the 60s for individual, but it was also in the 60s or 70s for community. I think that gets to the problem that we have in the country, where it's just not a greater good society anymore. It's about the individual, the brand. And so I wonder if how hard it will be to get players to think more about love of brotherhood, love of others, wanting to be part of a collective as opposed to a brand, since that's what is preached to them from the very early stages of development.
Well, there's a lot to talk about, yeah, in that statement,
But I do believe there are players out there that have those qualities of team first. They've been raised by the right parents. They've been put in a team first system. Now, they may be harder to find, but I think in every sport, the willingness to understand that you get out of something what you put into it, practice is important, even though we devalue it more and more in sports, it's seemingly every year, and you've just got to find the right guys. And this goes right back to our Texans talk. Like today, the press conference, you know, like you can't win a press conference more than D'Amico Ryans won his press conference. But it's not about that. It's going to be about assembling a talented, committed, dedicated, passionate roster that plays for each other. Those guys may be harder to find, but that's your job in any front office, in any sport. And so I'm hopeful for him and, like you said, like American sports, that we don't lose sight of what makes sports really enjoyable, which is understanding that there you're in something that's bigger than yourself, that the team is bigger than the individual. And you mentioned it. We've lost sight of that far too often.
That's Jeff Van Gundy, lead analyst for ESPN and ABC Basketball, former coach of the New York Knicks, Houston Rockets. And, Coach, we sure do appreciate, and also season ticket holder for the Houston Texans, by the way. Got to mention that as well. Coach, we appreciate you joining us here, taking some time. Really good stuff, as always.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right. 8:34. And
Before we go, can you guess the last American-born player to win the MVP?
It wasn't LeBron?
No.
Was it Steph?
No.
It's not Steph or LeBron. It wasn't Kawhi.
No.
It was, not Harden.
It was. Any coincidence that since that style of play won the MVP?
How long ago was that? 16?
Four seasons ago. Four MVPs ago.
That was his year?
Yes. Any coincidence that things have changed and gone the opposite direction since he won it?
What does that mean? I don't know. What are you trying to say?
I'm saying maybe the basketball god said, okay, you guys got that one. Now we're going the complete opposite direction.
I don't know. Maybe. I also think that Luka plays a lot like Harden, though, so I think the style is very similar, actually.
That's true. When Luka wins one, maybe the trend flips back the other way, but right now, and it's a big man's award at this point.
Yeah, it's Giannis crazy. Everybody's over 6'7".
Yeah.
And if you look at Luka, he's a 6'7 guy, or maybe even taller. If you look at all the guys who are going to win it, it's bigs, and it's supposed to be just wing players, but that's actually changed. 8:35 here on The Bench. I want to tell you about Underdog Fantasy and how they can help you out. Underdog Fantasy says, look, if you use promo code Lance, we are going to match your first deposit up to $100. So if you deposit $200, this is a math thing, I get it. If you put $200 in, they're going to give you an extra $100. If you put $70 in, they're going to match your $70. So they will match up to $100, but you have to use promo code Lance. And yeah, you can start firing away with that. You can play the daily contests and hockey and basketball. It's a lot of fun. It's a chance to win. You can have multiple entries. It costs just $5 on those entries. And it's fun to have 3, 4, 5 entries and sweat all your different teams, have different draft strategies. You've got the highs and the lows, which means that's their pick'em entry. You can build higher or lower on statistics that are out there for an individual player. And like I said, basketball, you've got that for the Super Bowl coming up. You'll have it for hockey every night when they have matchups. They even do stuff in golf as well. So if there is a sport that you want to jump into, my friends, they have you covered. But right now, the big game's coming up, and you guys want to fire away on highs and lows for a chance to win up to 20 times your original play if you pick 5 of them correctly. That's right. That's what they're doing. So make sure that you go to Underdog Fantasy or download the app, for example, and use promo code Lance. They'll match you up to $100. You must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 800-522-4700 or visit ncpgambling.org.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell them again!
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait! Hey guys, Joel Blank here. Valentine's Day comes only once a year, but every day can be Valentine's Day for you and yours thanks to the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Not only for men, Apollo Men's Health offers many different treatment plans for women as well, starting with cutting-edge pellet testosterone therapy to at-home self-injections. Call them today for more information, 832-664-9966, or go to the website, apollomh.com. For the month of February, mention ESPN or my name, Joel Blank, get a free evaluation on your initial visit. Your health is your wealth. Invest in yourself. Go see my friends at Apollo Men's Health.
It's hard to miss the new eye-catching digital billboard on wheels cruising around town. That's Running Boards Marketing. Running Boards Marketing is perfect for your birthday party, graduation, or other community events. Stream movies, live events, and even play the latest video games on a giant screen. Call 713-898-7839. That's 713-898-7839. And visit rbmwesthouston.com. rbmwesthouston.com.
For adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy, now there's Skyrizi, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months, and Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Nothing in me go hand in hand. Nothing on my skin, that's my new place.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With Skyrizi, you could achieve 90% clearer skin. Ask your doctor about the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis and visit SkyRizzi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZZI to learn more.
Foot on the gas, I'm just trying to pass all the red lights and the stop signs. I'm ready to go before I get to the baby, that's a problem. Cause I'm way too scared to call and you might give me a stay now.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I want to follow up on some of the stuff Jeff Van Gundy had, because he had some really, he had some good stuff. So I've had a chance to talk to different people who have been team builders. Dennis Lindsay is a great guy to talk to. Jeff Van Gundy, Daryl Morey, Alonzo Highsmith, Chris Ballard. Alonzo was never a general manager, but that's conversations with Rick Smith, Brian Gain. I saw Brian talk to Brian Gain this week at Senior Bowl. Ryan Pohl, just a lot of them. Guys who are Jeff Leno, guys who have built. Some successfully, some not yet, you know, as successful as they want to be. But it's all a common theme. Every single one of them, it's been a common theme. And this is, I'm just going to lay it all on the table here. One of my biggest frustrations over the last decade has been watching the Texans operate, knowing what it's supposed to look like with other teams, talking to Brett Veach, for example, over in Kansas City with Andy Reid. You know, I've talked to enough people and studied enough. I don't know Ozzie Newsome, but I've studied how the Ravens do things. When you study and you learn and you talk to people who know the way it's supposed to be done and you understand the philosophy of building a team and an organization, and then you watch how especially the Texans have operated, it's been a frustrating run for me, because it's a level of minor and major incompetence. I would say minor at one point, but it never had the building really – ever since Bill O'Brien came in, the building was not headed in the same direction. And frankly, with Culley and then Lovey, like there's no continuity. So you have had, since Bill O'Brien came in, he wanted control of the 53, which means the roster. He and Rick Smith tried to coincide, and they started butting heads. Bill O'Brien didn't think Rick was a football guy enough. And, you know, Bill O'Brien was a guy who was a kind of a bully at times. And maybe Bill O'Brien had some salient points at times, but I think, you know, Rick understood how to be a GM way more than Bill O'Brien did, and we know how that stuff all went down. But it's just been very frustrating for me to know how it's, because even when they were winning, I knew some of the dysfunctions behind the scenes. When I say winning, like the division titles, And it's been hard to get on board because it's just, I know that it's a bleep show behind the scenes, and it's not very, and maybe I just know too much about it, but it's really not this way with a lot of teams. Like, this is not the way it is. And I asked someone else who, he was not the general manager, but it was somebody who worked in Houston with the Texans. And I asked this guy, I said, he worked for a different team before he got here. He worked here. He worked for another team after he was here. And I said, is this normal? And he knows all about what's going on. I said, is it normal? Is there, I've talked to a lot of teams and people who have built teams, and it seems way different. But maybe, is this more normal that there's this much politics and stuff going on? He goes, absolutely not. He said, Houston is uniquely terrible over the last few years in terms of being, you know, how bad it is, the backstabbing, the politicking, the, you don't have everyone pulling together in the same direction. And now I'm hopeful that Nick Caserio is, I think he's a pro, and I think he'll work with DeMeco and try to make it work. I think Nick Caserio wants to stay and be general manager, frankly. And to do that, I think he's really got to do well with DeMeco Ryans. But I'm hopeful that this is the first chance. I don't think Cal McNair is obviously not an irritant to a situation. He's just a guy who was taken advantage of. I think Cal just wants to shoot the H and be, all Cal McNair wants people to do is just like him. I really think that's all he wants.
I agree.
He just wants to be likable. He's not going to mess anything up.
No one in his position is looking to be the butt of our choo-choo train jokes.
No.
He wants to put
a... Yeah, you continue to make
him. Well, until he does things differently, and maybe DeMeco Ryans is the first step in that process. While you're talking about it, because I've been around and heard the stories, I was trying to figure out if it was, besides the dysfunction and the end arounds to get people fired, did you have a problem with their football process, like in terms of how they evaluated, in terms of who they drafted?
I have, because there hasn't been a clear, I'd look at their drafts and you did not see a concise philosophy of how you're going to draft. This is the types of players we draft. That's been going on. And I think that was one of Rick Smith's weaknesses, is I don't think he drafted necessarily. Now, it was easy on the offensive side of the ball because Gary Kubiak was in charge of, it's an outside zone scheme stuff. He knows what the tight ends are supposed to look like, the offensive linemen are supposed to look like. But I think on the defensive side, there hasn't been a real, they drafted some pretty good players, obviously. There hasn't been a real flow to some of the draft. That's why the middle round picks have been so bad in Houston, especially under Rick, is that there wasn't a great, I don't think there was a great continuity to how you draft, what type of players are Texans. I don't think they had a great feel for what a Texan was supposed to be. This is a Texan. And I've got scouting manuals from teams where they show this is exactly what a Steeler looks like, or a Bear looks like, or a Colt looks like. I know exactly what they're supposed to look like at certain positions. And I guarantee you that's the case, obviously, with New England as well. But I'm hopeful that this is the first time in almost a decade where everyone is on the same page, everyone's pulling together. There's going to be a system in place to find Texans and what a Texan is going to look like on offense and what a Texan is going to look like defense. And I'm finally, like, I'm hopeful here because Cal's going to stay out of it. Cal, like I said, just throw your H up, try to have people, you know, happy about you and saying nice things. Hannah will be still everyone's favorite owner's wife. And then maybe we can have a team that we're happy about. And then we work on the Rockets. Once we get the Texans fixed, we work on the Rockets.
Does Tillman...
Once we get the Texans fixed...
What are you going to do?
You know, you, Dell,
I don't know
the
how
fans,
much,
Twitter polls.
I don't know how much we're going to have to do with it, other than bullying, trying to bully them into doing things we like.
Yeah.
Is Tillman going to start throwing up the H more?
Ooh, I haven't seen Jim Crane. I don't think Jim Crane's ever going
to
throw
Jim Crane doesn't have to.
Jim, no, he's
he doesn't have to play to us.
Yeah,
the product is what Jim Crane.
Will you see Tillman throw the H up in a year? I'm going to say yes, that there will be a picture of Tillman throwing up the H.
Do you think he'll do it with Cal? They'll get in the picture together? Have they ever taken a picture together? Have you ever seen a picture of them together? Where they come together and throw up the H?
No, that hasn't happened.
No, I know, but
will it happen?
Have they ever been photographed together?
Cal McNair, Tillman, Fertitta. Oh, it doesn't even. The search doesn't even. Hold on.
Jim Crane would do it, but he would have his World Series rings on each of the fingers, so
no,
it
I don't
would
see
make
any,
a bigger impact.
No, there's no pictures.
I don't think they've. I've never seen them in a picture together.
There's Tillman,
but Cal's been in.
No, here's Tillman. Now here's Tillman and Jim Crane.
Well, yeah, Tillman wants to associate himself with winners.
Winners, yeah. There's Cal and Bill O'Brien. That's a gross picture.
Terrible.
No,
picture.
You're right. There's never been. Is Tillman trying to avoid that picture?
Well, I don't think it would go well for Tillman. So I don't think it's ever happened. So I think they need to get together.
That's what they got to do.
We got the H.
Get up together. Let's throw the H up together, guys. Nope. Right. I can't
you
find
know,
there's not
you
a
know
picture.
What you do? If they draft Bryce Young, you have Bryce, Cal, Jalen, and Tillman all in the same picture. When, you know, because Bryce Young will do the tour. He'll get drafted. He'll do the tour. He'll wind up at a Rockets game.
Yep. I don't remember this picture of Cal when Cal just was rocking
the facial hair.
Yeah, I mean the mustache is Cal's signature.
Yes,
I mean that's a signature.
He had the facial hair going. Better look, I would say. But
yeah, I like it better.
Bryce Young's doing the tour, going to Rockets games, and then you have Cal there, Tillman and Jalen Green after the game, and they throw up the H. That has to happen.
That has to happen.
Yes,
that has to.
And
happen.
Everyone's going to look at the picture.
Or the best player on the roster, it could be Shingun throwing up.
It probably would be Jalen.
Yeah. Okay.
Not being the best player, he'll just be in the picture. And then we'll look at the picture and go, why is Bryce Young shorter than all of them?
Can we just start pretending that Bryce Young is 6'2", 218?
We talked about this. You know it's going to happen when he's at training camp or mini camp. And
Dell's right.
Everyone's going, he's smaller than I thought he was.
It's not until you see him in person that you realize he is a little bit, he's a little thinner. Like, it doesn't hit you until you actually are standing next to him.
There's definitely a tweet coming from someone. If it's not already in their drafts, it's ready to go.
Do not go take a picture with a women's volleyball team.
Well, everyone, they tower over everyone. That's not fair.
I know. 8:49. We'll break it here. Jimmy and Pena want to get in next, so we'll take phone calls next. And when we come back, that's what we'll do. 713-780-3776. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Hall of Fame Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
What am I looking at here on TV?
Yeah, we're watching ESPNU, and they have a question from a Twitter follower on the Key J. Will and Mac show. Are you eating the Big Mac casserole? I don't know if it originated on TikTok or Twitter, but it's exactly what it sounds like. It's a big baking pan, kind of deep. And they just line it with Big Macs. And it's not just Big Macs. I think they're using, like, ketchup as a layer and even syrup, I think, as a layer.
What?
And then they throw on the patty for a McChicken from McDonald's.
McChicken?
Yeah. It's a full-on Big Mac. And then they throw on, like, I guess a layer of ketchup and syrup in between.
Do they just take a bunch of Big Macs that they buy?
They take them out of the wrapper, layer them to make one layer, like a lasagna. They layer them, or casserole in this case. And then they throw, like, I think syrup and cheese and ketchup. And then they throw on McChickens. But the filet with whatever mayo remnants are on it. And then they layer that, make a layer of that. They throw on, like, syrup and ketchup again. And then they throw on, I think, more Big Macs, full-on Big Macs. And then they top it off with Kraft singles or some type of single. And then they throw it in the oven.
No, I'm not eating that.
It looked atrocious.
What are we doing? Why do you do this?
What are your people doing?
That's probably not.
It is your people. Yeah. It is your people.
Sometimes I see really good stuff on Reels or TikTok. I just end up with too many grandmas dancing to hip hop songs.
Why is that your For You page?
That's not my algorithm.
Apparently it is.
That's not my algorithm. Y'all need to start. Y'all know what my algorithm is. Start doing a better. Reels knows what my algorithm is. What's your problem, TikTok? I really do. TikTok is addictive. It's so stupid. You see the same stupid stuff and like, why am I watching this? All right. In the order of the longest wait, first up is going to be Jimmy. Jimmy wants to talk Calman. You know, what's up, Jimmy?
Hey, guys. Thanks for picking my call. I know, after seeing the conference and everything, I think, you know, I have a little bit of different perception of Cal. But I did want to ask y'all this because I don't know if I'm the only one that noticed it, but ever since I saw that pick of Cal throwing up the H, does he not look like Big Enos from Smoking the Bandit?
Oh, yeah, we've had this conversation. Yes, he does. There is a vibe to it. Yes, I wish it weren't true, but there is. There is a Big Enos look to him. Yeah.
He looks like one of our listeners. He's got it. I don't. You've probably never met Niall. Maybe you have at an event, but he kind of looks like Niall, too. And, of course, we've seen people do some Photoshop where they say he's Caldor. So none of them have – well, Niall is actually a human being, not a character. But the other two aren't very complimentary, Big Enos and Caldor. Not great for the owner of your team.
No, that's not the two great ones.
No.
That's not what you strive for.
That's not what you want.
I didn't see Cal at the press conference. Did he talk much?
I didn't hear his voice. Maybe he did, that's but I don't good. Remember hearing
I wonder how the perception's changed. Is it just hiring D'Amico, the perception's changed? Or is the H starting to make its...
I don't think
it's throwing the H.
I don't
and
think
what about
throwing
the
up
is the
H.
pinky ring?
No,
starting
I don't think it's the pinky ring.
Okay.
I do think it's hiring an accomplished defensive coordinator where you're not hearing any negatives about him from around the league.
Not... Well, let's
well,
hear
Cal
from Cal
did talk, apparently.
Yeah,
we'll
let's
hear from
him. Let me hear from Cal. I want to see what this sounds like.
I do think we're in a different spot this year, and it's exciting. We have some draft capital. We have some salary cap space. We have a young team. We have a fine young coach here that believes in developing young guys, even a third-round linebacker he developed into. Is he an all-pro?
All-pro.
He's an all-pro.
All-pro Fred.
He's an all-pro. And you did that, and you enjoy doing that, and you embrace it. And that's one of the things we talked about, Nick, is he really embraced developing young talent and finding the understanding who the player is and bringing out the best in them. And that's what he did in San Fran, and that's what we're looking forward to him doing here.
That wasn't scripted, and he sounded fine.
Do you miss
the scripted Cal, where he's reading from a script, sounds like too much like hostage videos.
Yeah, that wasn't great. Do you miss the person in the seat going, doo-doo-doo?
No, I'll never miss one of my owners.
When
no.
Cal's doing, when Cal's speaking.
No, when John does that.
That's what I'm saying.
You, no, because that actually sounded like he was giving an answer. Like, that wasn't bad.
Yeah.
I thought that was okay. I give Cal an 8 for that.
That wasn't bad. He got yeah. a Fred
got through
Warner.
It all.
Knew that D'Amico coached Fred Warner.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't know Fred Warner's name, but he at least he knew that D'Amico coached the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was close enough. Let's get Bobby in here.
So, dude.
Yeah. You don't have to do everything John does.
Okay. I'm just trying to figure out things around here.
Let's get Bobby in here before we get to a break. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, guys. Quick question for each of you. First off, great sports show as always. Lance, am I crazy to think that Tana is trying to take more of a role in running the team? She's not an owner's wife anymore. You're starting to see her.
No, you're not crazy.
In pictures. She's,
yeah. Yeah. It's all there. Like, it's all there. You're not crazy at all. You're reading it perfectly.
It almost feels like she's doing more than Cal is right now. Like she's kind of telling him, hey, why don't you step back and enjoy the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and let mama run the organization a little
peanut
bit.
Peanut butter and jelly.
And then, Dale, a quick one for you. With today being the day it is, Dale, who do you think was maybe more valuable to their team?
That's a
over
fair,
the length of their career, would it be a Michael Jordan or a LeBron James?
That's a great question, Bobby. So LeBron James is...
It is Jordan Day.
It's Jordan Day. It's 2-3-23, and LeBron is now 60-some-odd points away from being the all-time leading scorer.
I did hear that.
And it raises the question, who is the most valuable player for their team?
Can I answer the question with maybe... an illustration of what I feel like every time a question like that is asked.
Mm-hmm.
You know how we've been going through that throughout the week, and every time that question is asked, I imagine what's going on in that person's brain is...
I thought that guy perfectly...
No, I don't mind him because it's trolling. I'm all in on
yeah,
that.
Oh, I got
but
you.
Not when people are trolling, I'm in. I like it.
Yeah.
But when it's...
Especially when it's a sneaky troll.
Yeah.
Where he side-doored the
troll.
Well,
he did. And he also threw in the peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yeah, no, he had jokes.
I like it.
Let mama love up
yeah,
the team a little bit.
Yeah, but when I'm getting asked that question in a legitimate fashion, I just feel like...
That's what's going
the
on.
The hamster wheel broke.
In their head?
Yeah.
All right, 901. We're going to break it right here. And we come back. More of your calls. Pena wants to get in on Texans and college football. 713-780-3776.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.